This chazar zeichen that Shabbat Chesed Shulam Rabbi Yehuda Masechet Gittin Daf Nun Hey. Zok the Mishnah Rabbi Yechimin Good Gita testified that a deaf mute girl who is married off by her father may be divorced with a get. Also, an orphan girl who is still a minor is married off by her mother to a kayin may eat truma, meaning derabanan, since the marriage is only derabanan. If the girl dies, she is inherited by her husband. Also, if a person stole a beam and built it into his house, the owner of the beam cannot demand the return of the actual beam, which would require the thief to destroy his house. Rather, he only has to return the value of the beam. This was done for the benefit of the people who wanted to do tshuva. Also, that a chatas that was brought with a stolen animal and is unknown to the public that it's a stolen animal, the chatas is effective, and this was done also to benefit the mizbeach. Zoktimar Rava said, from the testimony of Yechim and Gudgan, we can learn, if someone tells witnesses, see this get I'm about to give my wife, and then he turns to his wife and tells her, take this loan document, and gave her the get without telling her it was a get, she would still be divorced. We see this from Rabbi Yechim because he says that the wife's knowledge is not necessary for divorce, and she's a deaf mute who doesn't have capacity for knowledge. So the same would be over here. In fact, Mara's pshita, Mara said, we would think that in Rava's case, since he told her it was a loan document, he was mevatel the get, he teaches that since he told the witnesses it was a get, he was not mevatel, and the reason he told her it was a loan document is because he was embarrassed to say it was a get. Okay, the Mishnah says, V'al ketana bas Yisrael. Zakamara, this suggests that if a deaf mute girl married a kayan when she was an adult, the marriage is only derabbanan because she doesn't have the mental capacity as an adult, she would not be allowed to eat any truma, even truma derabbanan. The reason is, we would be concerned that it would lead to a deaf mute woman married to a deaf mute kohen to eat truma d'oraisa. This woman has the same legal status as a minor, and therefore we have no obligation to stop her from eating prohibited foods. If so, why would we care if she ate truma? The concern is that allowing this would lead to a case of a healthy woman who married a deaf mute kohen eating truma also as well, and that would truly be also. In fact, the marriage would be effective d'rabbanan. So why can't she eat truma d'rabbanan? The says we're afraid that eating truma d'rabbanan may lead her to eat truma d'oraisa as well. The Mishnah then said, Abraisa says, if a beam was stolen and built into a house, Beishamai say he must destroy the house and return the beam. Beisil say, to assist those looking to do tshuva, he only has to pay for the beam. Mishnah says, Ula said, Deiraisa, such a garment will not be affected whether people know it was stolen or not. The reason is that in order for the animal to belong to the thief, he must make a kinyan after the yish of the owners, after they gave up hope of getting back the animal. And his kinyan of Meshicha was likely done before yish. The Rabbanan enacted that if it's not publicly known to be a stolen animal, the carbon is affected so that the kahanim should not become depressed that they have eaten from apostle carbon. In fact, the Rabbani asked Ula, our Mishnah says the enactment was for the benefit of Mizbech, not for the Kahanim. Ula answered, if the Kahanim become depressed, they will not want to bring any more Karbonis, and the Mizbech will sit empty. In that way, it was an enactment for the benefit of Mizbech. Rabbi Huda said, they write that such a carbon will be effective whether people know it was stolen or not. The reason is that no kinyan need be made after Yish, and the animal therefore belongs to the thief. The Rabbani enacted that if it's publicly known to be stolen, then the carbon should be puzzled, so that people should not say the Mizbech accepts stolen items. In fact, our Mishnah discusses a stolen Khatas. According to Ula, this makes sense, because a chatas is eaten by the kahanim, and the entire enactment was built on that. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is this concept limited to chatas, which applies to an oila as well? After the Mishnah means to say, not only regarding an oila which is entirely consumed by Mizbech, is there a concern to say that Mizbech is accepting stolen items, rather even a chatas which is shared between Mizbech and the kahanim, we still will have this concern. Our Mishnah says that the enactment was to allow the chatas that was not publicly known to have been stolen. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the enactment was actually that if it is known to be stolen, it is not effective. So why is the Mishnah saying in the reverse? After the Mishnah is saying, if it's not known to be stolen, it's kosher. This means that if it was known to be stolen, it will be possible, and this was done for the benefit of the Mizbeach. Rava asked, a Mishnah says, if a person stole an animal and was then makdish it to be brought as a carbon, and he then shechted or sold it, the halacha is that he has to pay kefil to the owner, since when it was stolen, it was not yet hegdish, but he does not pay four or five times the dollar of the hay, which is normally paid when a thief shechs or sells the animal, because at the time of the shechita or the sale, it had already belonged to Hegdash. A braisa adds, if he were to shech the animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash, he would be chayiv kares or shechting a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, according to Ula, since the animal doesn't truly belong to the thief, no kinyan was made after yish, why would it be chayiv kares or shechting it outside? That is the penalty only if one shechts an animal that's valid for the carbon. So if Shizbi said, it means he would be chayiv kares derabbanan. Rav explained, this means that derabbanan gave him legal ownership over the animal, which they can do, and that's why he's chayiv kares. Rava asked, when the Rabbanan gave him ownership of the animal, did they give him ownership from the time of the stealing or from the time that he made it hegdish? The difference would be regarding the shearing and the offspring of the animal from the time of the theft until the time they made it hegdish. Rava then said, it would make sense to say that they gave it to him, they gave him ownership at the time it became hegdish, because otherwise the Rabbanan would be allowing a profit for the thief. Zak, the next Mishnah halacha of sikrikoim, meaning when a guy threatened to kill a yid, and the yid gave him land so that he shouldn't be killed, that halacha didn't apply in Yehuda when people were being killed at war. After that time period, the halacha of sikrikoim did apply. This will be explained in the Gemara. The Mishnah continues, what halachas, if a Yid bought land from the Sikri Kohen and he then made a kinyan with the Jewish owner of the land as well, the purchase is void and he must return the land to the Jewish owner. However, if he first made a kinyan with the owner and then bought it from the Sikri Kohen, the sale would be valid. A similar halacha, Zakta Mishnah, applies in the following case. If a person buys land from a man and this land had a lien for his wife's ksuba and he then made a kinyan with the wife to release the lien, the purchase is void. However, if he first made a kinyan with the woman and then with the husband, the purchase is valid. The Mishnah continues, this was the original halacha. Later, Bezin said, if a Yid purchases land from a Sikri Kohen, he gives one quarter of the original of that amount to the original owner, and he may keep the rest. However, this only applies if the original owner doesn't have the means to buy the land back himself. If he does, he has priority over anyone else to buy back that land. Rebbe set up a Bezdin, which then said that if the land remained with the Sikri Kohen for 12 months, whoever buys it first may keep it, but he has to give one quarter to the original owner. Fidek Gemara, would seem that the issue of Sikri Kohen was more commonplace during the times of war, and yet the Mishnah says it only began to apply after the times of war. And for the Gemara, we would explain that halachas of Sikri Kohen only applied after the war. The reason is based on Rav Asi, who said that at first the Goyim decreed that whoever has an opportunity to kill a Jew and does not will himself be killed. Then they retracted and they said whoever kills a Jew has to pay a small fine. Finally, they said whoever kills a Jew will himself be killed. During the period of the first two decrees, a Jew felt threatened and fully transferred ownership of the land to the Goy to try and save his life. After the last decree, the Jew wasn't as concerned. He would give the land thinking that he'll later go to court and get it back. Therefore, it was never fully given and remains the property of the owner. That's when the laws of Sikri Kohen were first applied.